produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's wonderful to be back with you once again as we have this program for you on this particular occasion. Now, you know, we're in the month of February, and this is a rather interesting month. We have a lot of history to consider as we celebrate President's Day, as we celebrate Black History Month, and I'm reminded of the importance of history. As a college student, my first major in my first couple of years of college was history and political science. And so growing up as a young person, I was always fascinated with historical events. During my grade school years, it was the 100th anniversary, if you will, the centennial of the Civil War. And I remember doing book reports for school, and any time that I had the opportunity, particularly if it was a biography, it might be about Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. But during that Civil War period, it was it featured people such as General Robert E. Lee and, of course, Abraham Lincoln and others. And so I grew up with an appreciation for history. And I remember as we would go around the countryside visiting various areas, I would always be interested in the road sign markers that would indicate a historical event that had occurred at that particular location. So what I'd like to share with you on this particular Power Up Your Family program is teaching our children the significance of history and helping our families understand that history is not to be looked at as a boring subject about dates and events in the past that have no real relevance to our current circumstance. Because in reality, I'm reminded of the amazing quote from Sir Edmund Burke of the British Parliament from back in the 1800s, when he said, "Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it." Let me say that again. Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. That is significant as we think about everything that goes on in our day-to-day lives. You know, we are an instant news society these days. We have the cable channels 24/7. Even the national networks are 24/7. I remember as a kid growing up, that I believe Johnny Carson was the latest thing on TV, and it went off at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And afterwards, there was a video of the national anthem, and you saw the jets flying over and the flag flying, and the national anthem was played. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, TV was off, and you had the little screen there with the little test pattern. And that was the end of TV broadcasting for the day. So we live in a different time because not only do we have access to cable news and regular channels, but we have the internet. We have the cell phone technology, which gives us access to the internet. And knowledge and news are available to us 24/7. But what I would like to focus on is an appreciation that we need to instill in our younger generations to know
that sometimes what we think is a new event or something that seems new and different, but if we look back in the annals of history, we'll see that somewhere, sometime, someplace, some people in some location probably have already gone through the same thing or something similar. And what we think may be a wonderful new idea today may have already been proven to be a really bad idea based on the events of history. So let's talk a little bit about the historical events that we celebrate in this month. You know, I often think about the fact that coming up on the third Monday of the month of February is President's Day. And originally, President's Day sprang out of an appreciation, recognizing the first president of the United States. The story of President's Day dates back to, begins in 1800. Following the death of George Washington in 1799, his February 22nd birthday became a perennial day of remembrance. And at the time, Washington was venerated as the most important figure in American history. And so events like the 1832 centennial of his birth and the start of the construction of the Washington Monument in 1848 were cause for national celebration. So while Washington's birthday was an unofficial observance for most of the 1800s, it was not until the late 1870s that it became a federal holiday. And it was first proposed in 1879, and President Rutherford B. Hayes signed it into law. Now, in recent years, the combination recognition of Abraham Lincoln's birthday as well as George Washington's birthday was made into a federal holiday as President's Day, and to coincide with the federal legislation to make federal holidays as much as possible be on Mondays. That's why we celebrate President's Day on the third Monday in the month of February. Now, we may want to talk a little bit about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, but let me shift gears here for a moment and talk about another significant thing about the month of February as it relates to history. Most of us are aware that February has been designated as Black History Month. And it originated here in the United States. It's also known as African American History Month. It began as a way of remembering the important people and events in history of those of African descent. The precursor to Black History Month was created in 1926 in the United States when a Black historian by the name of George G. Woodson announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. This week was chosen because it coincided with the birthday of Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and of Frederick Douglass on February 14th, excuse me, both of which dates Black communities have celebrated together since the late 19th century. Black History Month was first proposed by Black educators at Kent State University in February of 1969. The first celebration of Black History Month took place at Kent State 1 year later. Now, 6 years later, Black History Month was being celebrated all across the country in educational institutions, centers of Black culture, and community centers, both great and small. When President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial, he urged Americans to, quote, seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. Now, there has been some controversy with the celebration of a month known as Black History Month. Even someone such as actor and director Morgan Freeman has criticized the concept of declaring only one month as Black History Month. Freeman noted, quote, I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history. And I understand that mentality. But because I remember as a student growing through my elementary years and high school years, that we did study significant historical events and individuals who were of African descent. Names such as Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. I remember well studying and learning about the contribution to our nation that these individuals made. But as we get into this, and as I did a little research, I discovered there's many, many other significant events and individuals involving the Black community. But, you know, take, for example, Frederick Douglass. You know, he lived from 1818 to 1895. He was a famed abolitionist. He was an editor, an orator, an author, a statesman. Probably one of the most influential, prominent African-American lecturers and anchors in U.S. history. Take, for example, Harriet Tubman. From 1820 to 1913, she lived. She was an abolitionist. She acted as intelligence gatherer, refugee organizer, nurse, revival speaker, and fundraiser. She did amazing things. Booker T. Washington, one of the dominant figures in African-American history from 1890 to 1950. He lived from 1856 to 1915, and he did much to improve the friendship and working relationship between the races. And then one of my favorites, George Washington Carver, a plant scientist, lived from 1860 to 1943. He taught former slaves farming techniques for self-sufficiency and known for suggesting hundreds of uses for the peanut and other plants. Now, as we kind of look at some others, you know, we had a Benjamin Davis Sr., who was the first African-American general in the U.S. Army, lived from 1877 to 1970. And who can forget old friend Satchel Paige, was a Negro League star, lived from around 1905 to 1982, and was pronounced the greatest pitcher in the history of the Negro Leagues. His career highlights spanned five decades, and he was a great showman as well. And then, of course, the first African-American to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, Thurgood Marshall. Lived from 1908 to 1993, or the one who won four gold medals in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, embarrassing German dictator Adolf Hitler, Jackie Owens, track and field athlete, 1913 to 1980. And then, of course, there's the iconic Rosa Parks. She was dubbed the mother of the modern-day civil rights movement. She lived from 1913 to 2005. What an amazing legacy Rosa has left. And then, of course, Jackie Robinson, a great athlete, the first African-American to play Major League Baseball in the 20th century. He lived from 1919, that was the year my father was born, until 1972. And, of course, recently we observed Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and you know, his lifespan was from 1929 to 1968. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, before his assassination in 1968. Obviously, well known as advocating nonviolence, racial equality, was a peacemaker, and of course was martyred. And then the highest ranking African-American government official in history, retired four-star general and first Black to serve as the United States Secretary of State, Colin Powell, born in 1937 and still living. And then my hometown hero, Muhammad Ali, known as Cassius Clay in his early days in Louisville, three-time heavyweight boxing champion, and was crowned sportsman of the 20th century by Sports Illustrated. Quite an amazing individual, born in 1942, and has since passed away. And then we had the second African-American to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, who was born in 1948. And then following Colin Powell as Secretary of State was Condoleezza Rice. She was the 66th U.S. Secretary of State, born in 1954. Now, I mentioned just a few individuals and recognize that there could be a whole program on each one of those individuals and their contribution to the history of our country and the ennobling of our people, white, black, and all other races. And so I am pleased to know that we have this opportunity in the month of February to recognize these significant individuals and their contribution to America. Now, as I suspect, and not having been in a classroom in a number of years, that the history of those of African descent who have made contributions to the history of our country is now in the curriculum of the studies that our students have in the classroom today, and is there throughout the entire year, not just the month of February. But we give special tribute and honor to those of African descent during the month of February as we celebrate Black History Month. Now, let's talk a little bit about George Washington. Now, as we all remember, you know, he was a great American political leader. He was a military general. He was a great statesman and is noted as the founding father of our country. In fact, he's been dubbed the father of his country. He was the first president of the United States, serving from 1789 to 1797. He actually didn't want to run for re-election, but was talked into it. But was encouraged to run for a third term, but decided that that was enough, that he needed to step down and allow others to take over. The reason why he was talked into serving a second term is that the rival political camps were so fierce that with our democracy, our democratic republic so young, it was feared that it might turn into a state of chaos without the father of our country being there to kind of guide and direct us. Now, prior to Washington's departure as president, he wrote his so-called farewell address, and kind of as a valedictory to friends and fellow citizens after 20 years of public service to the United States. As he wrote this near the end of his second term of presidency, before he retired to his home in Mount Vernon in Virginia, having had an aunt and uncle that lived in Alexandria, Virginia, we've had the opportunity to go through the Mount Vernon home of George Washington. And it's quite a walk down memory lane to see just the circumstance under which people in that period of time lived. But I'd like to do just kind of visit for a moment about some of the aspects of Washington's statements that related to his farewell address. One of the most referenced parts of Washington's letter is his strong support of the importance of religion and morality in promoting private and public happiness, in promoting the political prosperity of the nation. He argued that religious principles promote the protection of property, reputation, and life that are the foundations of justice. He cautioned against the belief that the nation's morality can be maintained without religion. And here's a quote: "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. These firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice?" Let me read that one again. Where's the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us caution, indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. So you can see that Washington refers to religious principle as the foundation of public morality. And as he argued that the American government needs to ensure the general diffusion of knowledge throughout the United States. The government has been created to enforce the opinion of the people, so the opinion of the people should be informed and knowledgeable. Now, we can have a whole conversation about an informed electorate and being knowledgeable. And that's why I wanted to focus this program a little bit on our understanding of history and the significance of the events and how they relate to the current circumstance. I repeat Edmund Burke's quote, "Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it." Also, like Edmund Burke's other quote that I often cite, and that is, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Now, in the remaining time, I'd like to talk a little bit about another great president born in the month of February. On February the 12th, 1809, Abraham Lincoln was born in my home state of Kentucky in a log cabin. And I've had the opportunity to go to Hodgensville, Kentucky as a kid growing up and as a young adult. And in the Lincoln historical site there in Hodgensville, they have a replica of his log cabin. Quite an interesting experience. Abraham Lincoln served as the 16th president of the United States from March of 1861 until his assassination in April of 1865. As we all know, Lincoln led the nation through the great turmoil of the American Civil War, which was our bloodiest war and provided the greatest moral, constitutional, and political crisis of our nation. Lincoln preserved the Union, abolished slavery, strengthened the federal government, and modernized the U.S. economy. Notable events during his presidency was, of course, the Emancipation Proclamation. He has a quote from that. He says, "I have here stated my purpose according to my view of official duty, and I intend no modification of my oft-expressed personal wish that all men everywhere could be free." Equally significant, of course, is the memory we have in 1863 of his Gettysburg Address. You know, he spoke on the Gettysburg Battlefield Cemetery on November 19, 1863. And despite his prediction, quote, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here," the address he gave that day has become one of the most quoted speeches in American history. It consisted of only 272 words and lasted for only 3 minutes. And he asserted that the nation was born not in 1789, but in 1776. Quote, "Conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal." And during that speech, he talked about, he defined the war as dedicated to the principles of liberty and equality for all. He declared that the deaths of so many brave soldiers would not be in vain, that slavery would end and the future of democracy would be assured, that, quote, "government of the people, by the people, for the people, should not perish from the earth." Frederick Douglass, speaking about Lincoln, said, "In his company, I was never reminded of my humble origin or of my unpopular color." So as we think about Abraham Lincoln, we are reminded of the significance. And it's interesting that as we look at constitutional issues that we've dealt with in recent days and weeks and months, we could have a field day of going through the similar things that Abraham Lincoln faced and his successor, Andrew Johnson. But a couple of quotes I'd like to share from Abraham Lincoln that remind us of his understanding of the significance of recognizing deity. He was once asked whether if God was on the Union side, and he said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." And of course, in his typical humorous way, he said, "God must love the common man. He made so many of them." And he said, "Surely God would not have created such a being as man, with an ability to grasp the infinite, to exist only for a day. No, no, man was made for immortality." And he then said also, "I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. But I cannot conceive how a man could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." Abraham Lincoln, quite an amazing president. And interesting, we've had other presidents born in the month of February, notably Ronald Reagan. And we could talk more about him and his legacy, but time does not permit for that discussion, this particular program. I would like to close by just simply stating that I am a fan of studying history. And the reason why is that it gives us an insight to realize that we today are not all that different than people have been all throughout the ages. And the challenges and the difficulties we face today are not that different from what has been faced by generations in the past. And that we can learn from the experiences of those who have preceded us. And as we teach our younger generation the importance of history, that helps them to become grounded and have knowledge to put into a prism of understanding the events of today based on the history and the traditions and the principles that have built this nation. As Edmund Burke said, "Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it." I testify to you that I believe that we are blessed amongst the people of the earth to live in the United States, a nation dedicated to the principle that all men are created equal, and that we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Goodbye, everyone, and look forward to the next time that we are together on Power Up Your Family.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.